Thank you, Joyce. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. I will begin with a very short aside. In a previous life, I was a youth pastor, an interim preacher in Argentina, so it was often that I was preaching 2 to 4 times a month. So when Pastor Dave asked me to preach, my instinct immediately was to say yes. But then I quickly realized that it's been years since I've preached. It's been now 8 years since I've transitioned to the more academic side of things, and if I'm honest, I thought I was in preaching retirement. So this not only feels like being called from the minors to the majors, but being called out of retirement. So please bear with me if I'm a little rusty. Let's read our second lesson from Scripture. Hear the word of the Lord. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lied down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a stairway set up on earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I've promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called the place Bethel. This is the word of the Lord. Genesis 28 is the continuation of the narrative arc of Jacob, which, if we're honest, at times seems like a hero or a man of God, and at others, more like a sneaky villain from your favorite TV show. He uses his mind, his tricks, his tactics, to always land ahead of those around him, whether his brother, his father-in-law, or others. In this chapter, chapter 28, it immediately follows the story of Jacob and his deception of his father Isaac in order to receive the blessing and to incur the hate and anger of his brother Esau. This is a scene where he is fleeing to find a wife at the command of his mother, but he's on the road. In this scene of stolen blessing, deceit, possible marriage, and getting out of Dodge, we find this scene in Scripture. There are some striking details I'd like to think about you with this morning. The scene, though it is miraculous, in many ways, is accidental. It's a story on the way. It was dark. He had arrived to a particular place. He didn't know what that place was. And the text says that he took a pillow of stone and went to sleep. The setup of the scene is nothing out of the ordinary, yet it leads to something extraordinary, someone who is on the way. It is in the seeming normalness of Jacob's life that God meets him. Yet once Jacob enters La-La Land, it is here that we see the first recorded dream in the Old Testament, and a place where God speaks with Jacob and tells him about his future and the promises to be with him. There at the stairway or the ladder, that there is a connection between God's extraordinary presence and the ordinary life of Jacob. It is here at Bethel that God tells Jacob who God is, the God of his family, but more importantly, that he was going to be his God. God tells Jacob who he's going to be. He reiterates the family blessing and then promises something extra, something new, the promise to go with him wherever he goes. This promise, as one scholar says, this is a promise for the road. What strikes me is that this is not a stationary promise. I will be with you as long as you stay here. I will be with you whenever you come back here. Even more so, it's not a promise that is based on a condition. I will be with you as long as you worship me. I will be with you as long as you do X, Y, and Z. Rather, the promise is wherever Jacob goes, no matter his mistakes, his moments of brilliance, his pettiness, his conniving, or his moments of nobility, those moments of doubt or of faith, God promised that he was going to be with him. The natural reaction for Jacob is that he builds an altar, a monument, a memorial of the place that God had promised to be with him. What's interesting is Jacob returns to that place a few chapters later in Genesis 35, and we find Jacob back at that altar. After 20 years had gone by from that first moment of promise, he returns. From that dream, he had gone to Haran, the land of his mother's family. He had gotten married twice. He gets tricked, tricks others, has kids, gets rich by his own conniving wit, escapes his father-in-law, gets caught, reunites with Esau, wrestles with God, and gets embroiled in all kinds of nefarious affairs. After all this time, he returns to that monument, that altar, that God would be with him. After all the life he had lived in those 20 years, God had been with him. I'll make a confession to you this morning. This summer and over the last few months, I've been thinking about my own life and my own future. As Joyce mentioned, my time here in Princeton as a PhD student is coming to a close, and like many, the future seems unknown. Daily, I'm asked the question, much like every senior that's graduated from school in May, every young couple or every retiree, asked by every well-meaning friend and family, so what's next? More often than not, I say, who knows? Yet in those darker moments of sitting on my porch, fearing the future or thinking about what's next, I think back at about how I got to this place. I think of those moments, those monuments, those altars that each and every one of us have received direction or a promise. I wish I could say that I received a miraculous visitation of the divine like Jacob does in this dream. Yet 12 years ago, I received a direction, a sense of vocation. It was there in a seminary class in Argentina that I sensed God's nudging to go forward and pursue a life in education. I didn't know where it would lead. This move precipitated me leaving the pastorate, moving to Princeton, and finding myself here. From that moment, I've suffered personal tragedy and all kinds of life-changing events. Yet amidst the pain and suffering, I could hear the quiet reminder, know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. The promise that God gives Jacob is direction-bound. It's on the move. It relates to the directionality and the tumultuous movement of our lives. Wherever you go, wherever. Think about this last week, think about this last month, this last year, the last five, the last 10, the 25, however far you want to go back, all the twists and turns in your own life, wherever you've been. Yet it's hard to do the opposite. Many of us can't even think of next week or the next month. But yet, wherever you go, we can know that God is with us and will keep us wherever we go. Wherever you have been or wherever you are going, known or unknown, we can rest in the silent presence of God's accompaniment for us and the return to wherever that promise was given to us. What stands with me about this promise to Jacob and to his lineage is that it's not a promise of smooth sailing or some trite, don't worry, it's all going to work out. This is evident in the pain and suffering in Jacob's own life in the 20 years that had gone by. And different from types of Christianity that promise God's blessing and package them and package the Christian life as a QVC ad that will change your life and solve all your problems, the promise that God makes to Jacob is something far more raw and real. It's not the promise that dismisses the pain, the trials of life, or over-glorifies its good parts, but rather it is the promise of God's presence. God's presence to accompany us now and in the future and back again. Wherever you go, whether it is through a difficult family moment, whether it's through financial hardship, whether it's just to make it through the summer and into the fall, or if it's just to make it one more day, as we sit here this morning, no matter the uncertainty of the future, be reminded of this. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Amen.